Yes, here we go.
So you told me yesterday, while I was listening to you on the pregame, you told me and the audience
that was bizarre.
That there was a development taking place down in, what was it, Miami?
Yes.
Miami. What in the world happened with Tyreek Hill?
So Tyreek Hill was trying to get to the stadium, and it was him and Calais Campbell, and apparently he had cut some people off, and he was pulled over for allegedly speeding while driving to Hard Rock Stadium, and this was roughly 3 hours before the game had started. Jeff Darlington, who is now the Nick Castellanos of reporters.
If he's there before a sports event, something's going down.
And he had said, quote, right now I'm still trying to put it all together. I still don't know what happened. That's what Tyreek Hill had said. But he said, I do want to use the platform to say, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? Because one of the things that were brought up is that there were people who believed that Tyreek Hill was struck during this incident. And he was put in handcuffs and then released after the citation.
Did you see the videos of
people
driving by?
Yes.
I mean, they had him face down in the pavement. And you could hear obscenities being yelled.
It was not good.
It was pretty crazy.
And then he scored a touchdown, and he and Jalen Waddle reenacted the detainment on the field.
Yes. We have some Tyreek postgame. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Right now, I'm still trying to put it all together, so I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. But I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario. You know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know, so I want to be able to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro.
Well, that was a nice sentiment. The videos, I mean, he
what did he say?
For a second, it looked like this thing was going
to
get...
Let's cut to the chase. This just didn't happen out of nowhere.
He was probably a little bit late getting there, I imagine, right. And he was in a hurry to get there, and
so
they probably told the cop that he was in a hurry to get there, and then I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, and it's a Scottie Scheffler situation all over again. It's crazy to compare this to a
golfer. He was driving like a Lamborghini or something, though. It was a very nice sports car. It was not...
They all are down there.
It was not the Buick that the... league has given you to drive up, like Scottie Scheffler
but
was in.
Lima is right. Like, his Lamborghini kind of blends in with the other one.
It's amazing. It is. I'm being dead serious. Yeah. You're down in Florida, but when you go to Key West, maybe a little different. When you're down near Miami and Fort Lauderdale, I swear to God,
on mopeds in
Key West. Yeah, you're right. You're sitting there in traffic. It's Bugatti. It's Rolls Royce, and they're all custom. Yeah. They're all crazy. Each one more colorful than the next. You have like 18-year-old kids that rent these insane vehicles with cash. How did he get that money? That's interesting. It is unbelievable, like, what you see down there
in Cleveland, Ohio, on a Sunday morning. If you used to see an orange Rolls Royce, you kind of had an idea who was driving and going to the stadium.
Yeah.
But down there. And when we went on vacation, I toyed with the notion of, I was like, oh, man, we can get an exotic for this much for the day. It was like $230.
Get a Ram Charger.
For 10 minutes. You got like 10 minutes.
You get a Hellcat and do that. Those things are fun and do all that stuff.
So I'd like to know what was said to get it. Because obviously the situation escalated at an insane amount. I saw Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus was interviewed.
Corvette? All those new Corvettes?
They had him on CBS. I was like, good get. They got Rosenhaus, who is his agent. And he's like, we are investigating the situation.
Yeah, that was...
He was very sweaty.
It was bizarre.
He was. He looked terrible.
Yeah. Could you imagine why?
I think he planned on being on TV.
Yeah.
It was out of nowhere.
I think Drew Rosenhaus was expecting to have to talk about that at that moment.
He was drenched.
Well, I'm glad cooler heads prevailed. In all seriousness.
All right, that's the first thing.
All right, you want to do the second thing? Fine, you do it. I'm good.
All right, we got to talk about Baker. We have to. We have not talked about him.
We don't have to do
that. A lesser show would have led with Baker Mayfield somehow and done a comparison. We did not. Now, a caller.
This show 2 years ago would have led with Baker.
A lesser show, this one, 2 years ago. Baker was insane yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Now, it was against the Commanders. Now, I did go back and look at just the highlights.
We're coming up on the schedule.
He was really good. Now, he was 24-30. He was the most efficient player, the most efficient quarterback in the NFL yesterday.
He was the most efficient?
Yeah. EPA per play, he was number one, edging out Patrick Mahomes. Our guy was 30th.
When do you start at
Still
PSS?
Has two more quarterbacks.
He was better than two of them. Okay.
So, well, there's still
There
you go. You and your analytics guys getting in on it.
Well, if we had Chris Godwin and Rashad White and Mike Evans, did trade for three wide receivers for our quarterback.
Evans did make a really good catch, but it was a dime. It was a dime right on him. Here's Baker after the 37-20 win over the Commanders.
That's the standard that this group has. We expect to be able to come out and be that efficient. Every game's going to be different. You know, this is the NFL. It's highly competitive, but we expect to be able to be that efficient on offense. Defense is going to play physical. But yeah, it's good to see that we came out week one, put everything together. And like I said, there's still stuff to work on, but this is a good building block for us.
All right, is this just that they played the Commanders, or is Baker really building off the playoff year? He looked confident. I mean, he had an energy to him. We did body language with Deshaun, totally different with Baker yesterday. And we've seen Baker at his highs and his lows.
He seems in a really
good
place
right now.
We've seen
him both, so we know. Like, we know he's had those Deshaun Watson moments, but yesterday was Baker 2020.
He seems in a really good place right now. He looks really confident. He's playing really well. There, are you happy? I'm not saying it's not true. All right, it's all true.
Are you doing a hostage video?
Ignored Baker Mayfield?
I'm just begrudgingly admitting it. Should we or should we not have?
Yeah, I think it's our responsibility.
We've not ignored him.
He is relevant in Brown's conversations, guys.
Of course he's relevant in Brown's conversations, damn it. But I wanted to focus on our own problems first because I can't turn back time. Not share.
Let me ask you this, and be as honest as you can.
Because I've been honest the entire morning. Why change now?
You know how ownership...
No, I would not do the trade.
Okay, not only that, though. You know ownership, how they felt about Baker Mayfield. And Baker at some points, I mean, he had reached Bernie Kosar levels in this town without having to go to AFC Championship games as well. People were on board. How relevant is Baker week to week in this town as Deshaun Watson plays like that?
Every single week. It's a comparison now. Every single week, because he ain't good. So there's a comparison there. And every time I look at Baker Mayfield for what he is, which is at best a top, at very best, like 12th. Okay? Overall.
All right.
Top 10 at his very best is a top 10 QB. But if I look at him rationally and try to say that, and our guy continues to play where, what, he was 30th? Well, then,
like 28.
Whatever. It's still really, really bad. It was really bad. I don't need a ranking to know how bad it was.
They were good, and he was not good.
Yeah, he was good, and our guy was not good. Well, there you go.
Yeah. He was ahead of, Watson was ahead of one quarterback so far, and that was Daniel Jones in EPA per play. Final story.
Oh, my God.
Final story. Now, we saw what happened with the Bengals.
Worse.
We were feeling good about the Browns before kickoff when the Bengals...
First round pick, Daniel Jones.
When the Bengals played the way they did and Joe Burrow was a mess. But it was overall a very boring game.
First round pick, Joe Burrow.
We debuted this segment titled, What Was Wild Around the League? Again, brought to you by WildEagle.com. So I would like to ask Mitch, who put together this little medley to get us ready for today.
A medley.
And ask him what was wild about that game, because from what I saw, that was maybe the worst game of the weekend.
Well, what was wild? You want Mitch to explain it. All right, because I have an explanation, but yeah, you want Mitch to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mitch, where are you coming at that was wild yesterday just because the Bengals were favored and nobody really thought the Patriots? This was a survivor pool pick. Is that where you're coming from?
Mostly that, because people were expecting the Bengals to finally have the advantage in a week one matchup, which they've been historically not great with. Joe Burrow's coming back from injury, but this Patriots team not only beat them on Sunday, they actually looked like they might have been the better team in what was Jerod Mayo's first game.
I mean, it was ugly. There's no doubt. Joe Burrow, they did not let it fly. Everything was short. I mean, to throw for 150 yards with all those passes and be trailing, you know, for a big part of that game. I don't know if it was all Burrow, but here's what he had to say afterwards.
This is Jerod Mayo.
What he had to say afterwards.
Very proud. My message to the players, you know, they gave me the Gatorade shower and things like that. But, you know, without them, I'm nothing. So, and I made sure they knew that. Like, they crossed the white lines. I always talk about empowering the players to go out there and play. I always talk about awareness really being the number one thing and those guys taking ownership. So, you know, all the praise goes to those guys, and they did a great job.
Jacoby Brissett, 15-24 for 121 yards. But it was a rough game to watch.
It was. And it was week one, and just to win, you got to slop it up. And they slopped it up, and Joe Burrow looked sloppy. Ja'Marr Chase was a little off. I mean, everything was a little off. It was all off.
That was What Was Wild Around the League, powered by Wild Eagle Saloon in Broadview Heights, downtown and Streetsboro. More details, wildeagle.com. That game was on same time, Steelers and Falcons. But two of those games, ugly, ugly, ugly. Kirk Cousins did not look healthy.
Steelers are the only team with a win in the division. They have not scored a touchdown.
Our head coach for our youth team texted me. I went, "What? That's how they scored? It was six field goals?
Six field goals.
And we got beat like that? I can't say nothing. I want to say something. Can't say nothing. Are we done talking about the other guy?
Go ahead. Let's get back to it.
I don't want
to
talk about the other guy. No, the other guy.
No, I know.
Well, when there's more than one guy.
This is a nightmare. This is an absolute nightmare. Jimmy in Strongsville, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We're doing okay. Go ahead.
Good. I appreciate, Ken, what you're saying about Baker and agreeing that he did play outstanding yesterday and that, you know, possibly he's in the top 10 quarterbacks and all these other good things.
But I don't know what I'm saying, Jimmy. I mean, when I'm sitting there going, well, maybe he's top 10, I'm just in a bad mood. Because I know the truth of the matter. You know that. Yeah.
All right. I'm just listening to what you're saying, and I'm repeating it. But, all right, forget that. Having said that.
Doesn't sound as good from you.
The problem is, in my opinion, somebody in the Browns hierarchy, be it the Haslams or Andrew Berry or a combination of both, made a value judgment that Baker Mayfield wasn't the guy, and they moved off him. That's bad enough based on sometimes his very, very above average quarterback play at minimum. But having compound that by giving up three number one draft choices, two fours, and $230 million in potential bonus money for free agents and the like, that's where the real problem lies. And someone, I don't know if Andrew Berry was told you're going to make this deal or if it was Andrew Berry's deal. No one knows. But then you have, and I'm going to take a shot here, you know, you have people like Mary Kay Cabot coming on these radio stations repeatedly and just, you know, mouthing whatever it is.
Well,
no one does any. Wait a minute.
Well, Jimmy, I can't. But
no,
she's not here to defend
herself. Journalism.
She's not here
no
to defend herself.
Investigation.
Jimmy, I can't.
Wait, Jimmy, what investigation do you want? What do you want us to uncover?
I want the tough questions asked of Andrew Berry. Who did this? Who created this nightmare? Because you have a nightmare here now in Cleveland. This guy's not the quarterback. You know it. All right, we can throw darts at Stefanski and all the Bill Callahan, everything else. This was a terrible, disastrous move.
Jimmy,
can you imagine if this happened in another city?
Jimmy, I respect what you're saying. You can come after us, Anthony and I. But I can't let you yell at her.
You.
No, it's okay. I'm the big boy. I can take it. It's not a big deal, Jimmy.
I understand that. I want to know why no one's asking the hard questions and screwing down on Andrew Berry and the Haslams. They caused this situation.
Ultimately.
It's bad enough that they gave up a guy who could play.
Now, I've said this, Jimmy, I understand. I got to let you go, though, okay? I got to let you go. I've said this a bunch. It is my understanding, and it's been my understanding for the last few years, that ownership had to have it shown to them that Baker was not going to be the guy. And at that time, in the 2021 season, you know damn well there was a lot of people. They weren't this boisterous. They were running and hiding because it got really ugly during 2021. Now, I didn't want to do this today, but every game looks like it's going to be a referendum between the two guys, so we have to do it again. I can't just change the history of things. I can't just do it because at that time we had to ask hard questions. Remember, if your job depended on Baker Mayfield, would you keep Baker Mayfield employed for you? And most people said no. Only the most ardent supporters, like the guy in the leather vest who used to sit over here, was the only one who basically said yes. Everybody else said no. They all absolved themselves of it. Now, yeah, he's got good players around him and he can make the most of those good players. It's not that the guy never had talent. The guy had talent. He has talent. He has talent. But in your hearts, most of us did not believe he could take us to the promised land. And they tore that thing down and stockpiled all that work for a team that would take us to the promised land, and they were desperate. And they made a desperate move, and now we are dealing with it.